You're listening to the Party in My Plants podcast, and you're about to hear from a girl who's intentionally homeless and proud of it. Welcome to the Party in My Plants podcast, where I make healthy living as fun as a party so you'll, you know, actually want to do it and then actually feel, look, and live your best. I'm your host, Talia Pollock. Now let's get this party started. This episode is all about traveling, so it's only fitting that it's sponsored by one of my traveling must-haves, Amazing Grasses Packets of Amazing Grasses. Their green superfood powders are an insanely tasty blend of nutritious greens, phytonutrient-packed fruits, veggies, grasses, digestive enzymes, and probiotics that I can't and don't want to ever live without. I'm an enormous fan of their watermelon energy flavor, which I drink every morning, but they've got a massive assortment of grassy products for you to check out and fall in love with, including a chocolate-flavored greens powder. And no, I did not just misspeak. To make Amazing Grass even more amazing, they are offering Party in My Plants podcast listeners 40% off your Amazing Grass orders if you go to their website, amazinggrass.com, and use coupon code PLANTPARTY40 at checkout. That's PLANTPARTY40 at checkout on amazinggrass.com. And all that info is also linked in the show notes at partyinmyplants.com/51. Alyssa Ramos probably has more stamps in her passport than I have. I don't know. I've been sitting here for 5 minutes thinking of a good joke and I got nothing. Suffice it to say, though, that Alyssa Ramos, travel blogger at My Life's a Movie, who's been traveling the world nonstop for 3 years now, has a lot of stamps in her passport. I found Alyssa when Shannon Kaiser, an author, friend, and former Party in My Plants podcast guest, wrote an article for Entrepreneur Magazine about empowering entrepreneurs you just gotta follow on Instagram. Well, just one peek at the photos on Alyssa's Instagram account and you will instantly get a bad case of the travel bug because she just posts photo after photo of herself in one beautiful place after the next beautiful place. Oh, and she uses a selfie stick for all said photos because she travels the world completely solo like a badass girl boss unicorn mermaid girl power. Here's our hack-filled chat in which we discuss flight hacking, jet lag hacking, exercise hacking, selfie hacking, and my favorite, packing hacking. Alyssa, thank you so much for taking the time from traveling the world to chat with me today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, so when we first talked, you were somewhere about to embark upon a 3-week African journey, and now you're in Bali. So yeah, crazy. So traveling is really what you do for like a living, right? I mean, it's not like you have a different job and you just travel when you can. Traveling is your job and your passion.
Yeah, it's crazy because I literally started this like 3 years ago and it really took off 2.5 years ago. And now I literally was just chasing my dream and it happened and I'm so excited for it. And I'm doing it full time, which is so awesome.
So, you know, you say it really took off about 2.5 years ago. How in the world, literally, did you go about traveling the world for a living? Like, how does one do that?
So it's really crazy. I actually started doing freelance work online for other people. So I was writing other people's blog posts, doing their social media, and doing everything pretty much to keep their business running. And then all of a sudden, I was living in LA randomly because I'm from Florida. Oh. And I was like, you know, I want to see more than just where I am right now. And I was like, does anyone want to come with me? And kind of no one did, which sucked. So I went by myself when I was 26, which is kind of late because most people start traveling when they're younger. But yeah, I went by myself and I did 3 countries solo.
Wow.
It was South Africa, Thailand, and Australia. And then when I got back, I was like, you know what? I love traveling. That was awesome. All I want to do right now is write about travel. So I did.
Cool. So then you started writing about it. So you became a blogger.
Yeah, I became a blogger. My blog initially was like making fun of myself for living in Hollywood because I was so not Hollywood, uh-huh. But I was living in Hollywood. Uh-huh. So I thought it was funny to call it My Life's a Movie.
Ah.
So when I traveled, I was like, oh, well, I want it to be My Life's a Travel Movie because I wanted to write about travel instead of, you know, Hollywood.
Gotcha. That's really cool. So then you traveled and you started writing a blog. And then how does that mean now that you are a full-time travel blogger? Is that what you would call yourself, a full-time travel blogger?
Yeah. So I was a full-time travel blogger and a social media influencer. But it's so much more than that too, because I really do a lot more. I speak at conferences, I write articles for other people, other publications. I host group trips, and why I'm in Bali is because I'm hosting my first ever blogger boot camp for other people aspiring to do the things that I'm doing.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. Like a weekend thing, or is it like a, how does that work? That sounds awesome.
Thank you. It's actually a week long, and I was actually invited to co-host it with another really big blogger. Her name is Gloria Tamo from The Blog Abroad. She's amazing. She's actually published a book, and she had seen that I did my first ever group trip with my followers from Instagram in Iceland about a month or two ago.
Yeah.
And she wanted to do something similar, but she wanted to teach a workshop. And so she asked me if I'd be doing it. I was like, of course. So now I'm in Bali getting ready to do that here, which is pretty cool.
That is very cool. So what is your work like besides, so you do, you know, influencey stuff, you write blog posts, you do these conferences and workshops. So what is there like at all a day in the life? I mean, I watched some of your awesome vlog videos, which by the way, I love your new vlog videos, which is kind of redundant because it's just a vlog video, but whatever. But so, you know, you show us behind the scenes of your life. And I mean, I saw a video where you showed that it takes like a full day to just get like one good photo, basically, to like earn your hotel stay. Am I getting that right?
So right now I'm at the level where I'm actually very proud of myself to say that I don't have to do the one photo for a free hotel stay. I actually don't do any more free stays, which is blogger/Instagrammer goals.
Wow.
Now I'm able to kind of coast and the deals come to me. So I'll get emails mostly from PR companies saying, we really love your content. We know that you have a very active audience. Your audience loves you. You have a strong ROI. We would love to invite you to come check out this new resort, let's say in Jamaica. I have a trip going there in October. So for me, it's like, okay, that's great and all, but since I am doing this full time and this is my career, are you able to pay me for the content that I produce and my time to go there? So I've turned it into a career now where I get paid to produce the content, do the creative production, and then post it to my audience, which is the audience that they need to get sales.
That's awesome.
Yeah, which is great because a lot of like the Instagrammers and the influencers are maybe just doing it for the free pretty hotels and stuff, but that's not how you progress as a business. Mm-hmm. So I've kind of taken it a step further. Maybe I don't have the 500,000 or 2 million followers, but I have a specific niche. Mm-hmm. And I do my job really well. And I've made it to the point where I'm able to have a very good income from doing what I'm doing and doing it in a positive way. And inspiring people, motivating people, and actually helping people to travel in an affordable way.
Yeah. So let's talk about that niche for a second. I'm assuming you're talking about the solo traveling.
So I did solo travel for the full 2 years when I started. And that's very much my niche. But I also like to branch out a bit and do mostly affordable travel, which doesn't mean like backpacking, budget travel. It's like, I can't do that because I'm almost 30 and I'm not comfortable doing that. So I like to do affordable travel. Solo travel is my main thing because I really do travel solo for a living. But to me, solo travel is, it's more than just me being by myself because I'm always meeting people. So I don't like to like specify it as you're going off by yourself. You're going to be by yourself. It's going to be just you on your own vacation. So I like to kind of open that branch a little bit.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the solo thing for a sec, because I mean, I hardly go to the movies solo. You know, so like you travel the world solo. So what is that like? What does that mean? Do you enjoy it? Is it lonely? Is it scary? Is it dangerous? How do you meet people? Just so many questions, but tell me.
So the number one thing I get asked is, well, first of all, the number one thing I get asked is, oh, you're alone? Why? And I'm like, what do you mean why? I want to travel.
Why? Like, What's wrong with you?
Exactly. And it took me so long to kind of embrace the fact that people were looking at me and talking about me like, oh my God, this girl's traveling by herself. There must be something wrong with her.
She must smell or something.
Yeah. Or she's like, for like a dude, or she's like trying to do something sneaky. But to be honest, it was like, it's really funny because the first year that I was traveling solo, I was dating someone and he just was like not wanting to travel. So I was like, okay, well, I'm going to go travel.
Wow. Why?
Yeah. So it was like, I didn't really put it together that I was doing anything incredible until women started responding, being like, wow, I can't believe you're going to these places by yourself. I'm like, well, if I wasn't going to go by myself, I wouldn't be going at all. Mm. And then I wouldn't be able to go there and that would suck.
Yeah.
So I just went. It wasn't a big deal until people made it a big deal. And now I'm like really proud to kind of be that inspiration for people who thought, you know, the way that I did initially, like, okay, either I'm going to go by myself or I'm not going to go because no one's going to go with me. So it kind of became normal to me. And now it's super normal to me. It's probably one of the best things that I ever did in my life because I'm so much more social now. I've met so many amazing people. I've developed so many new habits and personality traits. And it's just such a life-changing experience.
Totally. I mean, I know that there's people that, you know, maybe don't want to travel the world solo yet, but maybe want to take like a long weekend solo or even a full week somewhere solo. So do you have any advice for first timers? Because it sounds like for you, it wasn't like, okay, I'm going to embark upon a solo trip as an independent woman. It was more like, yo, I want to travel and I don't have my man to go with me, so I'm going on my own. But I think for most people, it's more of this like cleansing, like I just got out of a breakup or I'm trying to discover myself or I hate my job or, you know, whatever. Yeah. It's more of like a experience. So do you have any advice on how someone can start solo traveling?
I do. One thing to get inspired is, of course, following or just taking a look at people, not to like self-promote myself, but I know there's a lot of other women like me who are traveling the world and just reading their experiences on their blogs or even looking at the Instagrams or Pinterest is huge motivation. But what I honestly would suggest is taking a small vacation or even a staycation by yourself and just properly booking it and planning in advance so you're comfortable with it and understanding that it's completely normal these days for someone, especially a woman, to be alone. Mm-hmm. And even if it's just booking a simple hotel that's maybe an hour away from where you live, book the hotel, book the dinner, book something that you like to do, whether it's something with music, maybe art, shopping even, beach, book it, plan it in advance so that everything's there. You know what you're doing. And just do it and just, you know, like be in the moment. Don't worry about what other people are like thinking. They're probably not even thinking much about what you're doing by yourself because it's so normal these days.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like getting out of your mind personally, like not personally, but like getting out of the mindset that everyone's looking at you because you're alone, because they're probably not.
Totally. No one cares about anyone other than themselves, really, honestly.
Exactly. They really don't care. Like, they do not give AF. They're probably just like, oh, I have nowhere else to look right now.
Right.
And they're probably on a Tinder date anyway, so I'm just going to look around.
Seriously.
And that can, like, it can honestly make you feel uncomfortable, but it's really not an uncomfortable thing anymore, especially, like, now.
Right. So do you get lonely? I mean, I feel like if I even did a staycation here. I live in New York. So say I booked a hotel room for like 3 nights in the city and planned a little vacation. I feel like I would get lonely or I would feel weird at dinner not talking to someone or looking at someone. I mean, do you ever have that experience or did you in the beginning?
So to be completely honest, it's pretty much impossible to not be around like human encounters. Actually, at first, I was like very put off by how many people were trying to talk to me. Hmm. I was like, I'm just trying to travel alone. Why are people talking to me? And it was like nuts. It was like, I never had a single solo alone time unless I was sleeping.
What?
So My first ever Huffington Post article was called "Why You're Never Really Alone When You're Traveling Solo." Hmm. And it's literally because it's impossible to not encounter people.
That's funny.
Yeah. And if you're like, for me, I'm not like overly outgoing, overly like, hey, let's be friends. Like, I'm very quiet in real life. Mm-hmm. So when people start talking to me, it's like, oh my God, like, this is so crazy. And it happens everywhere, no matter what. Like, you don't have to even be outgoing, because as long as you're traveling and you're somewhere, people pick up on that and they want to know where you're from, you know, how long you're there for, what you've seen, things like this. It's like impossible to like not talk to someone, even if it's just the waiter. They want to know, yeah, where are you from, and like talk to people nonstop. And then once you stop talking to people out in public, you go back and there's social media, then you can text people, then you're online again. So it's hard. It's really hard to like get lonely.
That's so funny. Do you make friends that you stay friends with later, you know, or is it just like while you're in a country, you befriend people and hang with them and then, you know, you never talk to them again?
No, I keep in contact with everyone, and it's really a big thing because of social media. In Zanzibar, the random Airbnb host that I had was a 26-year-old Italian guy who happened to have a drone and a paddleboard, and we did a random paddleboarding drone video, and he texted me earlier today.
That's so cool.
Yeah. And then right before I came to talk to you, I met up with four girls from Instagram who were like, oh, I saw you're in Bali. I'm in Bali too. Would you like to meet up? And I'm like, heck yes, I want to meet up. It's Wine Wednesday. Let's go to some random little like beach bar. So it's literally impossible unless you ignore someone or ignore people or don't leave your hotel room.
Wow. That's so interesting. I never would have thought that.
Yeah.
Have you had any like dangerous experiences traveling alone? Because I know that's another thing that even when I was speaking to my boyfriend that I was going to talk to you, he was like, ooh, she travels alone to Africa and all these places. Like, isn't that dangerous? And I feel like that's something that definitely comes to mind when people hear of a female traveling by herself.
Yeah. So I've gotten to a couple of sketchy situations. Most of the time it's when you don't properly research the culture and the area that you're going to. Usually I always make sure that I know at least what like the religion and the culture is to cover up things like this. And to be honest with you, most places that I've been to that people would think were sketchy or like dangerous, like I've been to the Middle East a couple times. I went to Egypt, I went to Jordan, I went to Israel. I was perfectly fine in all these places. The only time I felt uncomfortable was actually recently when I was in the mainland of Tanzania.
Okay.
Just because I was by myself, it was completely obvious that I was a tourist. And it was just, you know, cat call after cat call after cat call. Cause it wasn't normal for a woman to be by herself in suburban Africa.
Right.
So in situations like that, like I felt uncomfortable, but I knew I was confident enough that I knew I would get through it. So I just, you know, put on my straight face, put on my resting bitch face, made sure I was like going fast, looking like I was able enough if I had to ninja move someone.
Right.
And just, I kept going, but it was still super uncomfortable. Probably not something I would recommend doing.
Yeah. But I feel like you're the guinea pig for all of this. And then you write a post about it or do a video on it and teach us what not to do and what to do.
Exactly.
So another thing about being alone, which is interesting, is that you have the most spectacular Instagram feed with the most breathtaking photos. But it turns out, I know you've revealed it again in some of your vlogs, that you take the majority of your photos alone, which is incredible because it doesn't look that way at all.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I take literally 95% of my photos.
Crazy. So for anyone listening, you gotta, you know, check out her Instagram, which I'll link in the show notes. But like, how do you do it? And how did you learn how to take such unique, beautiful photos by yourself?
Thank you. Oh, you're so sweet. going back to that first solo trip, I actually was super poor. I've pretty much always been super poor. So I didn't have a proper camera to take on that first solo trip of mine when I was 26. So I actually bought my first GoPro from a pawn shop.
Oh my God.
Because I couldn't afford a real one. And yeah, I was by myself. So I kind of figured out how to connect it to my phone and use the selfie stick to take the picture. And my whole concept behind that was that, unfortunately, when I first started doing all this, people thought that, people accused me of not really traveling alone. They accused me of having a guy with me that I wasn't sharing, or mm-hmm. having a guy who was paying for my travels. And it really, you know, upset me because I was pretty much putting myself into debt traveling to start my career. And people were accusing me of faking it and having a guy paying for it. And I was like, no, I'm actually by myself. I'm paying for it. I'm taking my own photos and I'm not using my looks to do it. So I'm going to, from now on, from the start of my career, not show my face in any of my photos. So I took the GoPro on the selfie stick and I took the remote on my phone, and I would look down at the remote on my phone and I would position the GoPro and I would frame myself in the photo and just take my own photo.
Wow.
Yeah. And then I got pretty good at it, I guess, because GoPro ended up noticing me on Instagram.
Cool.
Yeah. And they invited me to join them as an ambassador, and they sent me a real new GoPro.
Very exciting.
Yeah. That was so, it's like the most exciting day of my life. What I was meant to do.
That's so cool. So you take them all on a GoPro?
Yeah, I only use a GoPro. Now I've advanced from selfie stick to selfie stick with a adjustable tripod foot.
Yeah, it's cute. It's pink. I love it. It's so girly. It's perfect for you.
Thank you. I actually did it as a joke because so many people were giving me shit for taking selfies. And I'm like, oh yeah, look at me. I take selfies. And I'm like a girl. I'm going to use a pink selfie stick.
Yeah.
But now it's like I own it and I love it.
Yeah, you should own it. I mean, it's just so perfect for you. And it's actually, it's funny. It's quirky.
It's funny because like three people have came up to me so far, probably in the past maybe 3 months though. And they're like, I wasn't sure if it was you. I follow you on Instagram, but I knew it was you because of the pink selfie stick.
That's so fun. It's like your signature thing.
Yeah,
that's
so awesome. Funny.
So anyone in the world, if see a pretty blonde girl taking selfies with a pink weird tripod stick, we know it's you.
Yeah, exactly. Who's this obnoxious girl? Like, what is she doing?
That's so funny. So do you ever travel for just pleasure? I mean, it sounds like a lot of what you do is work. I mean, you write about the places you travel and you take photos and make videos. So how do you know where work ends and like pleasure begins? That's the stupidest question ever.
I mean, to be honest, what I kind of say is like my life is my work. Mm. So it was kind of how I envisioned it as like this dream idea I had when I first started, like, what if my life could be me working? And it kind of is. And I really do enjoy it. Like, I was never a photographer. I was never a writer. And now I am. And it's so cool to me that like my job is to go out there and find the beauty in a place and get a picture of it. And it's so awesome to me. And to be honest, like, my downtime is me pretty much right now, me being in Bali. I haven't taken a picture in 2 days and I'm like, whoa, that's so weird. Hmm. But it's because in the past 2 days I've been keeping up with emails and, you know, writing all my posts, updating my posts. So the work end of it is like, meh, when do I get to go out and take pictures again? And like, the fun part of it for me is, to be completely honest, like I've been interacting with people on my social media, seeing who's here, responding to people, seeing who wants to go chase waterfalls with me this weekend. And have quite a group of people, to be honest.
Yeah.
Again, you're never really alone when you're traveling solo, when other people are always, at least one person everywhere I go is there and they're always down to do something.
That's so cool.
I have the option to like do something by myself, but if people are there, I'm like, okay, cool. Let's go meet up and go chase this random waterfall.
Mm-hmm.
So the majority of it is for fun. Sometimes I'll get a really good business deal to a place I've already been. And that's, you know, I'm not going to say it's not fun because it's still traveling. That's still awesome. And I see places a different way every time I go to them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really never like, ugh, I don't want to do this.
Yes.
The only thing I want to do is constantly carry my bags from here to here and here. Ugh. But, you know.
Well, let's talk about bags, because that's definitely something that I would love to hear from you. Do you have any tips on packing light? I mean, you probably have less stuff on your, I can't even call it a trip, because do you even have like a home? Are you on a trip? Are you permanently on a trip?
I've been traveling full time for 15 months now. I have no home.
You're homeless.
I'm homeless. I'm proudly homeless.
Oh my God. I can't even comprehend that.
No, I know. It's crazy. But I couldn't even have a home if I tried. I've tried. I have tried. I've said like 5 different times this year, I'm going to go back to LA. I'm going to get another apartment. But then I get booked for another trip and I'm like, oh, but maybe I'll just stay over in Southeast Asia because it's awesome. And
that is so cool. That is mind blowing. I just can't fathom that. I'm such a homebody too. I mean, I love traveling. I do. But I just love also being home with my food and my, you know, stuff and my couch. No. I mean, do you miss that?
Of course I miss it. And right now I'm having the time of my life because I have this cute villa in Bali that's 2 stories. I'm on the 2nd story right now in my giant queen size bed, and it's only $27 a night. And I'm just like, this is my home for 2 weeks. I am a princess, and I have a house cleaner every day, and I have breakfast every day, and a pool. Like,
oh my God. Okay. All right. I have 2 different streams of questions. First, let's talk about, well, I don't know. You tell me what you want to talk about first. How the heck you book something like that and find these affordable travel deals that aren't like backpacking? Or we can talk about how you pack light. Which do you want to do first?
Okay. Okay. Let's do packing first, because everyone always asks me, because I do wear pretty much a different outfit in the majority of my photos.
Uh-huh.
So I have this very secret strategy.
Okay. Let us
know. That I had to figure out. I needed all these dresses. I really needed them for the photos, but I also need normal clothes too.
Mm-hmm.
So what I figured out, and I have actually this tutorial in a video on my YouTube and website.
Oh, perfect. We'll link to it.
Okay. So what I do is I take all of my clothes and I do not fold them, partially because I suck at folding and because it is a way better method to lay everything flat. Only tuck in the things that are sticking out, like the sleeves or the bottom of a dress.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have these magical travel compression bags.
Oh.
Have you heard of them?
I think I've seen them before at stores or, you know, online. They're kind of like, are they plastic and they like, you suck at the air and it squishes it down or something?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
These things are so magical. They're basically the unicorn of travel packing.
Awesome. Where do you get them? On Amazon or?
I get mine off Amazon. I use the brand that I found that has worked the best is I think called Travel On, like TRAVELON. Anyway, but you squish out all the air and you squish down all your clothes and it fits better and it keeps everything organized because you literally can't dump out all your clothes when you're looking for something in the middle.
Right.
So it keeps everything organized.
Awesome. So you'll like, put a few dresses like of one category in one of the squishy bags and then maybe like shirts in a different squishy bag. So it's really well like organized.
Yeah. But like 10 dresses, not like a few. Like
oh,
10.
Wow. So how many bags do you travel? How much luggage do you have?
So right now I'm on my 5th month of traveling without going back to drop stuff off. And I have 1 carry-on sized wheeler that has 2 of those compression bags of all of my clothes in it. And then I have a separate, like a day bag of all the clothes that I've collected because I buy local clothing in each country that I go to.
That's really cool.
And then I have another bag of all of my electronics and then my purse.
That's it.
Yeah.
Wow. That's like less than I bring for like a 1-week trip to Mexico.
Yeah.
I wish I was kidding.
I weigh a lot of my clothes too.
You give them away?
Yeah.
Oh, so you don't want to like rewear things, so you'll donate them?
Yeah. So yeah, after I wear something in one place, I'll give them away or I'll trade them to local people for like their local clothes.
That's so nice.
Yeah. Or I'll just give them away and go shopping in another place. Or if I have a clothing collaboration with a brand, I give away like the majority of my clothes before I let them ship me more stuff.
Wow. What an interesting way of life. I mean, you are such a rarity. Like, you don't have a home. You live in these amazing places all permanently. You just keep traveling. How far in advance do you know where you're going to next?
Well, now, as I've said, this is my third year in blogging, my 15th month being solely nomadic. And I'm actually, for the first time, booked solid for the rest of the year with my paid collaborations.
Wow.
So I know I have a good idea of where I'm going for the next, 4 months. And then in between, I have the option to go back to the US because my flights are included. But typically, I don't take that option and I keep traveling to places nearby on my own dime.
Right. Because, I mean, you make an income too. So you can, it's not all just free travel, like you said.
Yeah. So I take the money that I earn from my business trips and I pay for my own trips that I want to go to on my own time.
That is so interesting. So let's talk about the affordable travel component, because you were saying that that's like kind of a niche that you're really passionate about. The solo thing kind of fell into your lap just because you were doing it and you realized, well, people care about it. But the affordable travel is something it sounds like you're really passionate about helping people with. So what are some tips you have for people finding, first of all, affordable flights? Because I would argue that it's easier to find an affordable, hotel or Airbnb or whatever. But flights, I mean, how do you have any tips on that?
Mm-hmm. That's how I'm able to actually keep traveling in between my travels. I call it flight roulette.
Oh, I love it.
But typically what I do, and I actually just did this with my younger brother earlier because he's been trying to travel and it's really difficult to explain it, to one person all the time. So I've been trying to do tutorials, but essentially it's flight hacking. So it's just being savvy about destinations that are cheaper to travel to, mm-hmm. And using them to connect yourself to a place that you actually want to go to.
Huh.
So for example, my younger brother wanted to come visit me in Indonesia.
Okay.
And he right now is in Florida. Mm-hmm. So I said, okay, start with skyscanner.com and type in Florida and click any airport. And then for the departure field, click flexible to anywhere. And then click for the date, the entire month of August.
Hmm.
So this gives you double flexibility. And this is a last minute flight. So this works way better, way cheaper if you do it farther in advance.
Oh.
Yeah, he wants to come next week. So this is just my example.
Okay, but it is in general cheaper to, like, what's a good amount of time in advance? Like 3 months or six or like two? Like, what are we talking?
Honestly, 1 month.
Oh, that's like where you can find really good deals 1 month in advance?
Yeah, because they don't make it cheaper depending on the amount of time which you book. The flights depend on the season and how popular the flights are year round.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. No matter what, flights to, south of France and anywhere, Croatia in the summer are going to be more expensive than they're going to be in January.
Right.
No matter what.
Right. So you're better off doing it 1 month in advance?
I mean, minimum.
All right. So back to your brother. So you're on Skyscanner. You're saying you'll depart from any airport in Florida to give him that flexibility. And you also said he could arrive anywhere, or like, what were you saying?
So say I'm, so let me do it for, pretend that I'm the one who's in Florida.
Gotcha.
And I want to get to Indonesia.
Yes.
But flights from Florida to Indonesia one way are $800. And I'm like, oh my God, that's so expensive.
Yes.
So instead I do a search from Florida to anywhere. And I see that Bangkok is only $400. I'm like, oh my God, that's $400 cheaper. So then I do a second search and I do Bangkok to anywhere. And I see Bangkok to Indonesia is only $96. And I'm like, oh my God. So I could fly myself to Bangkok first, then book another flight for $96. And then it's only $500 as opposed to $800. So I just saved $300.
Wow. Interesting. But they wouldn't have calculated that for you. If you put Florida to Indonesia, they wouldn't be like, yo, just stop in Bali. That'll be 400. And then it's only 96 more. You kind of have to book two separate flights. They don't kind of do that for you.
Yeah, because it's different airlines. A lot of airlines don't work together.
Right.
And there's a lot of international airlines that you have to book just with that airline because they don't work with big airlines, especially for international flights.
Interesting. So that really is like hacking the system.
Mm-hmm.
So you use skyscanner.com for most of your flight booking?
Yeah, Skyscanner, or I also double check Kiwi.com when I'm like abroad in Southeast Asia. But those have been the best two that have found like the cheapest flights because they do like an overall search.
Okay, awesome. Kiwi.com, K-I-W-I.
Yeah.
Cool. And so then you find the cheap flights, and then what do you do when you are looking for affordable places to stay? Do you typically choose hotels or Airbnbs? I mean, you were saying to me that you are in such a sick Airbnb, and it's kind of like also a B&B, like you have a housekeeper and stuff. Like, how do you find things like that?
Okay, so a lot of places now are getting smart, and they're posting on both Airbnb, even if they're a hotel. So this is technically a hotel. It's not someone's house. Like, I have my own room, my own door, my own room key, things like this. But what I typically do, I first check a site like booking.com. I don't know why I trust them the most, but they show me discounts because I tend to book things also last minute and I can get up to 40% off. Mm. So I'll look on there, and then I'll also do Google search for just hotels in, you know, for example, Seminyak. And I'll do the map option, and I'll look at the map and click on one of the dots that it, you know, shows me for a hotel. Uh-huh. And when you click on a dot, you go to the sidebar right there, it pops up, and Google will automatically show you every single one of the hotel deal finder sites, like booking.com, agoda.com, whatever else there is, .com. And it'll show you which ones are currently having a discount for that hotel.
Wow. Wait, so what site did you go to do all that?
That's just Google.
Oh, Google. Okay.
That's on Google, but using the map feature.
Gotcha. Okay, Google map feature. That's awesome. So that'll show you also Airbnb. That won't show you Airbnbs. That'll show you hotels.
Yeah. So, if you did hotels right now in New York City on Google, and that's it, and you clicked on the map, you'd see all the little dots. And then when you clicked on a dot, you'll see it in the sidebar on the left. So when you click on the sidebar of the hotel's name, it pops up a little thing that says the information, blah, 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 blah. But then underneath it, it says every single booking site that has that listing and which ones are running deals on it.
That's awesome.
So you can pick the cheapest one.
That's really cool. So you use that for hotels. That sounds amazing. And then is Airbnb, you just go on Airbnb and just use it normally, or do you have any secrets for that too?
Yeah, there's no really secrets for Airbnb other than using your like booking code to try to get travel credits with it, because they don't ever offer discounts unless you're staying somewhere for more than a couple days. You can message the host and say, hey, I'm staying for a couple nights. Would you be willing to offer me a discount?
Oh, all right. So a little negotiation tactic there.
People are always willing to negotiate.
Good to know. Good to know. Yeah, I guess you have the upper hand. You're paying them to stay in their home.
Exactly.
They want you.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's funny because before we started talking, I had no idea, but you're a vegetarian, right?
I am. Yeah.
So in addition to just traveling the world and having that be extremely fascinating, you are a healthy eater and a plant eater, as we would call it here on the show. So that's awesome. And it makes, in my opinion, all your world traveling even more impressive, because it's really hard to eat healthy, you know, during travel. So do you have any strategies for that? Like, how do you stay eating all the plants anywhere in the world?
Okay, so to be honest with you, a lot of people ask me, you know, how I'm able to even eat in general. But it's funny. It's really funny to me because what a lot of people don't realize is that the majority of places in the world are very vegetarian friendly, because a lot of places in the world aren't as lucky as the US, where you have easy accessibility to meat. So the majority of places have to have a vegetarian option because, you know, most people can't afford having a piece of meat. Mm. It's also been very interesting to me how many places ask, are you veg?
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, I am veg.
I'm veg.
Yeah. They have veg menus. And as you know, I'm in the vegetarian vegan capital of like the world.
Yeah,
Bali. Right now. So it's really cool. And it's like, it's not hard for me at all. I really am appreciative that so many places have different options for food. And I've been able to try so many different foods that don't have meat in them. And they're all delicious.
That's
especially
really cool.
In India.
Oh, yeah.
I changed my mind. India is probably the vegan vegetarian like love place of the world.
Yeah. I mean, you can go to any Indian restaurant and, you know, kill it with the vegetarian food anyway. So I can only imagine India itself would be great for that too. I thought Thailand was veggie fanatic as well. Like they could do anything with tofu, even if it wasn't on the menu.
Yeah. Thailand, anywhere pretty much in Southeast Asia, like they're very, and it has a lot to do with religion. Mm-hmm. Because Hindu, you know, don't eat meat at all. Mm-hmm. Buddhists tend to not eat too much meat. Muslims only eat certain types of meat. So it's very interesting. Like the diet really does reflect on the religion. And you can even see that on the flights. There are some US flights that I've been on that haven't offered a vegetarian option.
Right.
And it blows my mind because on the majority of internet, like the Asian flights or Middle Eastern flights, there, no matter what, has to be a mandatory vegetarian option because of religion.
Yeah, that's so nice. Nice for us who don't do it for religion, but do it for our health.
Yeah, super convenient. I do it for moral reasons.
So. Oh, okay. That's great too.
Yeah.
So what about, you were speaking of flying, what about jet lag? I mean, jet lag is legit. You know, you're traveling out of countries left and right in time zones. How do you deal with jet lag? Do you have any advice on that?
Yeah. So I hate saying this because I feel like it's so redundant and people always say it, but drinking a ton of water, it helps so much. And then just taking some extra vitamins as soon as you land, before you go to bed, and then when you wake up, and then really just taking the day after you land from a big trip, like just taking it easy, but trying to maintain your own schedule in the right time zone. So like, for example, I never ever look at what time it is in the last place that I traveled to if I'm in a very large gap.
Huh. So you live life the next day as if you've been living in that time zone forever.
Yep, exactly.
That's so interesting. I've never heard of that before. And that's really effective because, I mean, I don't travel nearly as much as you do. I mean, I don't think anyone does. But when I went to Thailand, it was a 12 hour time difference. And it was just totally different in our body. And so we would just stay up. So we would just go with our body, is what I'm trying to say, versus going with their clock. So, but it didn't work very well. Like I was like dead for like 3-4 days. So your strategy must work, right?
Yeah. You have to take it easy as soon as you get in and you have to immediately change your clock. Do not look, don't even try what time it is where you just came from. Like I have no idea what time it is right now and I just spent 6 weeks there.
Wow.
So don't even look at the clock. I just know, try to go to sleep by 11, 12. Right now it's 11:45. And then I set my alarm for 8:45 every day. And I just try to, like, but this is after the first day. So the first day I give myself some sleep. I take it easy, take a nap, drink a ton of water, get my bearings. And then then I make sure to go to bed that night on normal time. And then I set my alarm for the next morning, normal time. And I just don't even try to think about what time it is where I just was.
You don't look back. You just look ahead.
Unless you're going backwards in time. And it's super confusing, but we will go there.
Yeah, that's 2.0. That's awesome. So what about fitness? I mean, how do you stay like fit? I mean, it's so hard to develop a routine at home, let alone when you're always traveling. Do you have a fitness routine at all? Or do you just walk a lot and that's what you do? How does that work?
I literally just got done telling one of the girls that I met up with earlier. They asked me, they're like, how are you so muscular? I'm like, trust me, I don't do this on purpose. It's because I carry like 10 bags and I'm constantly walking. But it really has a lot to do with eating healthy, drinking your water, the way that I keep in shape. And I honestly have never been in better shape in my life, and I'm about to be 30, is from all of the walking I do. But I walk in a very specific way, which is going to sound a little bit crazy, but I saw it on YouTube.
I'm so intrigued.
I was trying to look up ways to work out from your hotel, and I randomly stumbled upon a girl who was flexing abs as she's walking on a treadmill. From that little YouTube video, I learned to be conscious of my muscles when walking, when I'm traveling. So I always make sure to tighten like my ab muscle, my glutes, and my thighs while I'm just regularly walking.
Wow.
And after a while, it literally pays off. It's incredible.
That is so cool. That is so simple and easy. And I've never heard that before. I am definitely going to do that when I walk through the city and also when I travel. That's awesome.
Oh my God. Yeah. Even you're in New York, walking through New York, and even just tightening your muscles, it will do wonders. I swear to God.
Woo! I'm down. That sounds so easy. Another hack. You're full of hacks.
I am.
Another hack that maybe you have is, how do you stay healthy? I mean, traveling is notorious for making people sick, you know, just on flights and time differences and, you know, different foods and weird stuff. So how do you stay healthy, like with your digestion and your immunity and all that stuff?
Okay, so to be completely honest with you, I have this weird thing where I do not get sick abroad. I only get sick when I'm in the US. I don't know why.
What?
It's the weirdest thing ever.
That is very weird.
It's so weird. But one thing that I usually do is I always make sure to eat yogurt for breakfast every single day if I can. Yeah, yogurt like is like the magical food. I swear to you. It keeps your entire body healthy. Keeps your lady parts healthy.
Nice.
It keeps your stomach like fit. I swear I've done this kind of research on yogurt. But yeah, it keeps your stomach healthy. Like that's why I never get sick with food or anything like that. So I eat a ton of yogurt. I learned that trick actually in India. They drink lassi, which is a yogurt drink with every meal.
Mm.
So definitely yogurt.
Well, let's say here that you're not eating, no offense, but like Dannon's, you know, Go-Gurt packets. You're eating real, like handmade yogurts, right? In these countries where they're not mass producing it, they're hand making it and you're eating that, right? So the good stuff, not this processed crap.
Yeah, exactly. Not processed crap. I always make sure at least at the minimum it's the Greek yogurt. But yeah, it's always like 100%, you know, strained yogurt, things like this, not Dannon, not Go-Gurt.
Yes, thank you.
I've been trying to do more greens. I am actually like the worst vegetarian on earth because I don't like vegetables. But I've been trying to do more. Yeah, it's bad. More greens, even if it's just a juice for the morning or the afternoon. Doing that, and then vitamins that I use are B12, calcium, and fish oil, just since I don't eat meat. What else? A ton of water. I already said this, but I drink water that I should basically be a mermaid. But
do you filter it? Like, I have this awesome, like, little pod filter thing that I can put into water and like my own water bottle and filter it. I mean, and I'm sure there's many places you've gone where you can't even do that. So are you pretty much exclusively drinking bottled water when you travel?
Yeah, it's mostly bottled water. When I was in Africa, I had one of the self-filtering water bottles, but it was much easier to just get bottled water and not risk it unless you really have to.
Right. Yeah.
You'd be surprised how many places actually have clean water. And there's so many stereotypes about, you know, you're going to get sick if you get the water in your mouth. But I've never, ever, in the 70 countries and 3 years I've been traveling, I've gotten sick from the water. So.
Right. Well, people told me in Thailand, if I brushed my teeth with the water, and we were staying in like nice hotels in Thailand, but we were still using bottled water to brush our teeth because we were told, if you brush your teeth with tap water, you're going to die. So.
So. That's false. It's a stereotype of people who haven't traveled a lot.
Right. Yeah. So speaking of 70 countries, yeah. I read on your Instagram that you recently completed a bucket list, which you have many bucket lists, it sounds like, but you've traveled to all 7 world wonders, all 7 wonders of nature, which I didn't know were 2 different things, and you've been to 70 countries?
Yeah. I think it's like 3 days ago, which is awesome.
Congrats. That's insane.
Yeah, I'm like super proud.
What's next? What's the next bucket list?
I have actually my 7th continent coming up in December.
Which is that?
Antarctica.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Cold.
Literally
cold.
Freezing.
Literally cold. Yeah, but I'm so excited for that. It's like a huge milestone for me. So. I'm really excited.
Wow, that number 7 is just, you're going for it. It's following you.
Yeah, I'm literally coming out 2017.
That's crazy. universe works in mysterious ways. How many passports have you gone through?
I'm actually only on my second one because, like I said before, I got into the traveling game later on. Like, I started when I was 26, and most people start when they're 22. So I was late in the game, and I was super excited to film only my first passport. And now I'm on my second one, which is 3/4 of the way full. And I get really picky when they're trying to take up a whole passport. Because I'm like, I don't want to wait again for another passport.
Oh, that's so fun. That's so cool. Do you get like the double? I know you can get like passports with extra pages. I assume you have one of those.
Yeah, I got that one.
Cool. So what's your next trip after Bali?
Okay, so I go back to LA for, I think, 3 weeks. I might even come to New York Fashion Week.
Ooh, cool.
So I might see you.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Yeah. And then taking my mom on a cruise for her birthday to the Bahamas.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah. And then I do a road trip around the UK with Avis rental cars. And then I go to Jamaica and then to Paris and then to Tokyo and then to back to Southeast Asia. And then I go to Patagonia and then to Antarctica.
My jaw's on the floor right now. That's an insane itinerary. Your life is a travel movie.
Oh, thank you.
That's so awesome. That is so awesome. So if somebody wants to like get involved with one of your like travel tribe groups, I know you're starting to do group trips. You did the one in Iceland. Do you have other ones coming up?
Yeah, so I had to postpone my Croatia one because I all of a sudden got booked with those other ones. But I'm going to do my Antarctica trip is actually a group trip. And then for 2018, I have a couple different locations. So if anyone is interested in being part of the travel tribe, you can send me an email from my website, melissamovie.com, with the subject line of travel tribe or group trips or whatever you think is quirky.
Awesome. And I guess everyone can just go follow your adventures or hook up with one of your trips or everything. Everyone should go to your blog. Is it my life's a travel movie, right.com?
So my actual blog is mylifesamovie.com.
My life's a movie.
And then my Instagram is mylifesatravelmovie.
My life's a travel movie.
Yeah.
And Instagram. All right. Well, I'm going to let you go because it's bedtime for you. And thank you so incredibly much for coming on the show and sharing all these secrets and hacks and inspiring us to get our booties out and travel some more.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you so much. It was so awesome talking to you.
Oh, you too. I'll hope to see you in New York soon.
Yes, definitely. You know if I'm coming for sure.
Okay, great. Thank you so much for listening to the Party in My Plants podcast. I expect you've got yourself a mild case of the travel bug right now, and that's okay. It's easily curable. Book a trip, even a staycation. Just find an Airbnb close by and live it up for a weekend. All this conversation did for me was remind me how amazing Thailand was. She was in Bali while we were talking, which is similar to Thailand, which was the best trip I've ever taken. If you want to hear more about my Thailand trip, then pop episode number 21 into your ear holes. Okay, this conversation also inspired me to get some of those compression bags. For a link to the compression bags and Alyssa's video showing how she uses them, for all the deets from this episode, for the discount code for saving 40% on my favorite green travel buddy, Amazing Grass, and for a heck of a lot more that makes healthy living as fun as a frickin' party, head to partyinmyplants.com/51.